morning and happy Sabbath, church family. I'd like to thank you all for allowing me to speak up here and for you all being here to come and worship with our most loving Father, Jesus. May you all be filled with Christ's love today as I share. When Pastor Rob first asked me if I could preach and the only available option was on the holiday of love, I kept on asking myself, why should I do this message? Is there not someone else? But it reminded me of when I first spoke about how God uses the ordinary or the unqualified and turns them into his vessel. Isaiah 6:8 says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." We should all be willing to do his work, because even if we see that it doesn't work out, we should trust that God's plan is always better for us, and we should let it happen in our lives. I'd like to bring attention back to our scripture reading that Uriah just read. Thank you, Uriah. 1 Corinthians 13:13. "And now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love." God is love, right? As mentioned in our children's story. Therefore, love rises above hate, and love will ultimately triumph. God is ready to receive you with his love today. But I want to say, this is all great, but what is truly God's love? Certainly, it's not the type we see in fairy tales, like true love's kiss or whatnot. Let's see what Ellen G. White has to say about this. In Steps to Christ, she says, "Such love is without a parallel, the matchless love of God for a world that did not love him. The more we study the divine character in the light of the cross, the more we see mercy, tenderness, and forgiveness blended with equity and justice. It's such a love that cannot be compared like any other." And there are four types of love that we are aware of: philia, eros, storge, and agape, as also mentioned in the children's story. But today we will go a little bit deeper into these types of love. The first type of love, philia, which is a friendship or a brotherly love. It refers to a deep, affectionate, and virtuous friendship, often described as brotherly love or love between equals. This is the type of love where, say, you know, we know each other, we're friends, and sometimes we say, you know, we're bros or we're besties. We all have friends, and it feels good to be loved. And the Bible story that I found that correlates with this is Ruth. The story of Ruth is found in the book of Ruth, and in the first chapter, we see an Israelite family: Elimelech, the father, Mahlon, and Chilion, the two sons, and Naomi, the daughter. This family moved down from Bethlehem in search of food during a famine. And showing storge as a family, it's a love that we'll talk about later, and Mahlon and Chilion end up meeting Ruth and Orpah, two Moabite women that they end up marrying, showing eros, which is another love that we'll talk about later. And this story is filled with a lot of love. So Ruth and Orpah end up marrying, and they become sisters-in-law with Naomi. However, unfortunately, the three all became widows, and Ruth and Naomi had been left without a child. Naomi knows that it's hard to be an unmarried widow in a foreign land, so she starts to head back and turns for Israel with a heavy heart. But what does Ruth say? She says in verse 16, Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Ruth showed a ton of loyalty in the story, and kind of reminds me of how we should all be loving to each other, even to our friends. The next love that we see is eros. It's a romantic love, or passion or desire. And, you know, this being the holiday of love, Valentine's Day, if any of this love applies to you, I'd like you to listen. I, as a child, though, don't know how to give you much information about this love. But what I can give you is knowledge in the Bible, found in the Bible, from God. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and is desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And it's not talking about our literal heart, the one that pumps blood, but our mind and our desires. We should always ask God to lead. Just enough of this love is good, but too much without God can be a little bad. God must lead. Bible stories like Samson and Delilah, we see it can be harmful. And others like Joseph and Mary, or Ruth and Boaz, we see that they can be good. And in a relationship, Ephesians 5:22, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body." And we see the comparison of a relationship with Christ and his bride. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So it's a two-way time to love. And in verse 28, it says, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." And the third type of love is storge. It's a family love. Here we see it's a natural, instinctual, or familial love, often described as the deep affection between parents, children, or among our family members. These are the people who we trust most on this earth. I have a great family. It's the best I could have asked for. And you know God provides. My parents, they drive me to school, and sometimes they pick up my sister from college. They drive me to extracurriculars like sports and music, and to various places that will enrich our lives. We see there is a story in the New Testament. It's one of Jesus' parables. It's the prodigal son. It's found in Luke 15:11 through 32. If you want, you can turn to Luke 15:11 through 32 to follow along. And a little background for this parable. Jesus started his ministry and set out to help cities and the poor. Helping the poor is one of the main messages of Luke. And the religious leaders decide to criticize Jesus. But Jesus stays calm, and he tells them a parable, which one of them being the prodigal son. Let us read. In verse 11, "Then he said, 'A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' Then he, the father, divided to them his livelihood." So the younger son is a little impatient and wants his inheritance already. "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent it all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want." Then verse 15, "Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." So we see the younger son is in desperation, and that he is willing to eat even what the pigs ate. In verse 17, "But when he came to himself, thought about it, and realized, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?' And then he has an idea in verse 18. 'I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your hired servants instead.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. And verse 24, it says, For this my son was dead, but is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. So we see a father who had thought he lost his son, but he doesn't shame him when he comes back. The father says the son was lost, but now is found. The father shows storge, the family love, and accepts his son again. On Luke 15, 25 to the end, we see on the other side, the other older son, who had stayed faithful to his father for years, and he had never gotten a party. But the father explains that the son has had it good for all these years, and they had to celebrate the younger son because he was dead but now alive. Jesus told this parable not only to explain storge, but to show the religious leaders that they were the oldest son, looking down on the younger sons. We should all be loving to each other, whether it be to our parents, our kids, our siblings. My mom says, If I didn't care about you, I would let you do whatever you want to do. But she instead loves me and tries to guide me to the right path. Matthew 7:11 says, If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? And we see in Adventist home, Ellen G. Wright's writings, that love is a precious gift from Jesus. Love is a precious gift which we receive from Jesus, counts us from the church. And only where Christ reigns can there be deep, true, unselfish love, Adventist home. So we've talked about all these different types of love, friendship, romantic, and family. Where is God's love in all this? Well, his love is unlike any other, as he's talked about in the beginning. His is agape love. It's selfless, unconditional, and sacrificial love, often described as the highest form of love, exemplified by God's love for humanity. It's active, benevolent love that seeks nothing in return and involves a willingness to give or even sacrifice oneself. Sounds a lot like a man who came down to die for us, right? Jesus. Agape love is the one talked most about in the Bible. And in scripture reading, it's talked about the greatest of these as love, 1 Corinthians 13:13. It's not a love that we can show or we can comprehend, but we can try to break it down into two parts. It's unconditional love and it's self-sacrificial part. It's unconditional love is hardest to comprehend from a human perspective. Sometimes we ask ourselves, unconditional love? We see a lot of conditional phrases in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, 1 John 1:9. And these are all great verses, by the way. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe your heart that God has raised himself from the dead, you will be saved, Romans 10:9. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 6. You know, a lot of people use this argument to say that God doesn't give unconditional love. And to that I say, God gives us that choice. Without choice, we wouldn't truly love him, and he wouldn't truly love us. But it's through that free will that God shows his unconditional love. I don't believe it's conditional love because it would be against God's character of love to not give us that choice. He shows us love each and every day by giving us the power to choose. He also gives us the power to choose repentance also. We don't have to pay for repentance. We can just accept him. In Steps to Christ, it says, ask him to give you repentance, to reveal to you in his infinite love, in his perfect purity, in the Savior's life, the principles of God's law. Love to God and man were perfectly exemplified. And in Romans 8, 38-39, we see that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which comes from Christ Jesus. In the Old Testament, God gives his children, the Israelites, a choice. He gives them a covenant. Even though we had broken our covenant several times over, he still shows us love, even through the broken promises. And the sacrificial love, he gives it to us as a gift. Love is an action word, or like a verb. It's not just a noun or a subject. And love takes time. He wants to spend it with us, and we can spend it with him. It takes that sacrificing of time. My parents drive me to Orangevale and maybe to other places. And sometimes we stay a little after school to get like some sports in, or maybe some music, extra music. And sometimes on Fridays, I have to go to a girls' chorus, and they'll be singing next Sabbath, so stay tuned. And sometimes when we're driving down to Orangevale or back home, we see this man. He wears a shirt, a bright orange shirt, and he says, and it says on the words, John 3:16. He's usually on some overpass on Highway 50, and it reminds us the whole message of the Bible, that no matter what happens, he loves us unconditionally with a selfless heart, because he came down from his universal heavenly throne to die on this earth just for you and for me. John 3:16 gives us the whole message. But it also says how he died the second death. It's not just some death that we experience here on earth where our loved ones die, but he passed through that. It's the everlasting death. He broke through those chains, and he gave us victory. God loves us so much that he wanted to make sure that we aren't lost. He has given the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Psalms 119:105. He's also given us the Ten Commandments so that we can learn to honor and guide, and to guide us so that we can love him. 1 John 4:19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. It's not because we are afraid of him or afraid of discipline. We need to have a relationship with him, to spend time with him, and we can talk with him. John 14, verse 21 says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. And in Matthew 28:20, he gives us a promise to always be with us, even to the end of the age. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now I want you to think in your hearts, where are you in your spiritual journey? Where do you find yourself in these stories? Are you the prodigal son who has lost his way and is coming back home? Are you the friends to the prodigal son who have let him do all these bad things? Are you the older son who feels neglected? Are you the father that tries to keep everything in control? Are you a true friend like Ruth? Or are you waiting for God to find you like you are that one lost sheep out of the 99? Friends, I want you to think about today that whoever you are, God still came down for you to save you. And he wants to be with you for eternity in heaven. Even if it was just you in all of the whole world, he would still send his son down, Jesus, to die for you. And that's his agape love. It's truly the greatest of these. As you listen to the hymn of contemplation, I want you to ask you, will you choose to give your heart to Jesus and to follow him?
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you. Soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me, 'cause your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Because on and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never ever have to be afraid. One thing remains, one thing remains. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
Were you blessed, church family? Aiden asked me to do the benediction prayer, and so why don't we all stand for prayer as we close. Loving Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much, Lord, again for your Sabbath day. This day to remember that you are our Creator and that you are our Redeemer and that you are the God of love who has loved us with an everlasting love, agape love, unconditional love, and self-sacrificing love towards all of us. Father in heaven, we praise your name. We give you glory and honor for all that you have done for us, for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for all of us, and not to just live a perfect life, not to just die for us, but to resurrect into heaven, Father, and to be our intercessor and mediator as well. Father in heaven, as we exit this church, Father, we ask that you would help us to remember your agape love, the love that is transformational in all of our lives. Father, may we never be the same once we experience that love. And Father, thank you so much, Lord, again, for never giving up upon us, for always pursuing us with your love, mercy, and grace, and for showing us, Lord, that we are not alone. Father, we thank you so much for the promise that says that you would never leave us nor forsake us, and that you are with us always, even to the end of this world. Thank you so much for these precious promises, and thank you so much that you are a God of love. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Let everyone say,
amen.
Amen.
Thank you for worship with us today. As our service is over, may God bless you. I hope you have a blessed Sabbath, and may God be with you till we meet again.
May God be with you till we meet again. Be within your heart. May God be